Recent studies suggest that most women with the earlier stages of a common breast cancer may not, in fact, need chemotherapy after surgery. But Dr. Darren Saunders from the School of Medical Sciences at University of New South Wales warns of potentially misleading headlines that could create false hope. Thank you for joining me this morning, Darren.
Morning. How are you?
Very good. And so what is the research? So what's the research saying exactly about this, the chemotherapy?
Right. So this is a really big clinical trial that just came out of some 10,000 women looking at a particular kind of breast cancer. And it's important that we get that straight. So this mm-hmm. It's the most common kind of breast cancer. So we're talking about probably roughly half of all the cases of breast cancer. And basically what they did is they looked at their genetic risk profile. So they took women with this particular kind of mm-hmm. cancer. They did a genetic test, looked at 21 different genes, and they ranked their risk of getting a recurrent form of that breast cancer. And we've known for a long time that people that get a low risk on that score tend not to need chemotherapy. People that get a high risk get chemotherapy. People in the middle, we weren't sure what to do with. And that people in the middle is an awful lot of those women.
So then I'm sensing there that the people who are low risk are often getting chemotherapy.
The people who are low risk don't get chemotherapy. They tend to get hormone therapy, tamoxifen or aromatase, depending on how old they are. The women that had this intermediate risk profile, we didn't really know which way to do in Australia. We tended to be a bit more conservative about who got chemotherapy. In America, they tended to be a little bit more towards the aggressive end. Anyway, what this trial shows is that across 10,000 women, they took a bunch of women in the middle of this risk profile, this genetic risk profile. They split them into half, so they randomized them, and they said, okay, we're going to give half of you chemotherapy and hormone therapy, and we're going to give half of you hormone therapy. And then they looked over a 9-year follow-up and found absolutely no difference in their recurrence or their time to progression of the disease. And so what that tells us is that those women getting chemotherapy aren't deriving any benefit from that chemotherapy, but they are getting all of the horrible side effects and costs and things associated
with it. Well, yeah, because chemotherapy obviously is quite a traumatic process.
I mean, hormone therapy is as well. Don't get me wrong, but you know, there's that additional side effects of, you know, nausea and potentially causing chemotherapy, leukemia down the track, and
chemotherapy is kind of dangerous in and of itself.
It is, yeah.
So what are the misleading headlines, you know, kind of linking into this?
So the biggest issue around this was that a lot of the headlines that came out sort of said, oh, lots of women with breast cancer don't need chemotherapy. So that can unfortunately give the message, because there is this myth out there and this sort of conspiracy theory that doctors are all about just pumping poison into people to make money. And chemotherapy works. In the right people, it works. It works very effectively, and it keeps people alive. This study was kind of misreported in that way. So to be specific, we're talking about a cancer called hormone receptor positive HER2 negative cancer. So it's a particular kind of cancer, and it's early stage cancer that hasn't spread to lymph nodes. And so typically this is the kind of cancer that is frequently detected in women over 50 that are caught up with breast cancer screening type tests. So it's caught at an early stage. It responds to hormone therapy. That's the kind of cancer we're talking about. Now that's still probably half of all the women that get breast cancer. Really importantly, this study still didn't find a difference. Sorry, did find a difference in women under 50. So women under 50 in this intermediate risk profile, looks like they still get a benefit from having chemotherapy.
So sort of the problem here is this is like massive generalization and kind of misinterpretation of it. So like, oh, everyone with breast cancer, hey, you may not need chemotherapy.
That's it. So there's two sides to the coin. There's one is that it might encourage people to just sort of decide off their own back, okay, I'm just not going to bother taking this chemotherapy anymore. And the way to deal with this is to not do anything changing, you know, don't change anything you're doing unless you talk to your doctor. That's a really important message to get out there. And also the message is that we're talking about a specific set of cancers here. You know, I mean, still a lot of women, but a specific set of cancers.
So Darren, this sort of links, I guess, into the larger issue of, you know, distrust in science, sort of, where it's kind of, you know, distrust in a lot of conventional institutions is rising, you know, across the world with social media, people purposely spreading lies and misinformation. So, you know, how big of an issue is this, really?
Look, it's really challenging. So on the one hand, you've got this...
I mean, especially in medicine, too.
In medicine, it's huge because it really has an impact on people. You know, it has a direct impact on people. And we see examples all the time of people out there giving, you know, false hope and false cures. And one goes hand in hand, you know. So when people in science and medicine come out and say, we've got this amazing breakthrough, constantly the message is amazing breakthrough, and they are truly amazing breakthroughs. But to get those from the lab to the clinic and then to apply them to lots and lots of people takes time, and And the way medicine's moving is that we're getting better and better at treating smaller and smaller groups of individuals. And so things aren't broadly applicable to lots of people. And so we're almost setting ourselves up to fail in some ways by creating this kind of hope and hype cycle. And then when we don't meet that hype cycle, that drives disappointment. Well,
it's impossible to meet the hype cycle, though. Like, to be clear, it's not like scientists are saying, oh, this is going to be the best thing ever. For
Scientists are.
Well,
It's on a spectrum, I guess.
Of course.
But it's not so much what the scientists say, it's what people hear that's kind of what we should be really thinking about. And the problem is if we keep overhyping, you get distrust.
It loses its impact.
Exactly,
get very cynical.
Well, and people turn to other sources of information because they feel that they might be more trustworthy.
So how can people distinguish then between sort of the, you know, what's real and what's sort of overhyped or not, you know, promising too much?
It's a really difficult thing to do. It requires understanding a lot of information about how studies are done. Are they done in a way that there's a lot of people studied, like the one we're talking about this morning? There were 10,000 women studied, so that's pretty robust.
That's significant, Or like 20, is a difference.
Exactly, or anecdote, single cases here and there are not.
I didn't get chemotherapy convincing. And it worked for me.
Exactly, yes, exactly. Yeah. But that's a very powerful message for people to hear because it's a personal message.
Yeah. And so but it's also like it may not apply to you.
Exactly.
So
when you hear about a new breakthrough, you need to look for a few things. You need to look at does it apply to a lot of people? Is the study being replicated? Can it be done in other groups of people? Look for conflicts of interest. Is someone trying to sell you something?
And was it run by a chemotherapy company or?
We don't get drugs from the lab to the clinic without some kind of industry support.
That's I guess that also makes it very difficult too.
It does.
I mean, if you don't have like a degree in medicine or how does that person do it?
Well, that's why I'm sitting here talking to you, and also talk to your doctors. Very important. I mean, they're a very secure source of information. So it's partly about who you trust to get that information from. Google is not necessarily your friend. Facebook WebMD. Is almost definitely not your friend. But it is. It's very tough for people to kind of navigate this space,
And turning to breast cancer research itself, moving forward, you're saying we're getting better at treating smaller and smaller kind of, groups of people. How is it looking for the future of breast cancer research and treatment more broadly?
So there's this amazing... here we go. We're talking about amazing hype and breakthrough, right? There's this real shift in the way we're thinking about cancer, and not just breast cancer, all cancer. And we're moving away from these definitions of anatomical types of cancers. So, breast cancer or lung cancer or brain cancer.
Liver, whatever, body parts specialized.
Right. Yeah. We're moving more towards sort of molecular definitions where we talk about a particular genetic profile or a particular kind of molecular profile. And we're starting to target groups of patients with therapies based on those molecular profiles. So
is the idea that maybe you have a cancer in the liver or cancer in the lung, but they may be the same type of cancer?
They may respond to the same drugs in the same way. And so we start to think of them in a slightly different way. And some of the newer therapies that are coming on the market now are immunotherapies. So drugs that sort of uncloak your tumor and say to the immune system, hey, wake up, there's a big tumor over here. You need to come and take care of that.
Yeah.
Right? Or even stuff like we're vaccinating people against their own tumor. So we take a piece of tumor out and we vaccinate their immune system in the lab and then give them back an engineered version
of
their
immune system.
Which sounds
crazy, but yeah.
It's wild, but it works.
That's amazing, yeah.
But it doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah,
it works for some people and not others. Yeah. We saw another, there's this big cancer conference that's been going on in the States this week. That's why there's so much news in cancer this week. And there was an absolutely mind-blowing study that came out yesterday on a woman, single case, single individual who had advanced stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. She had months to live and they put her on this wild experimental treatment and they basically took her immune system out and tested it in the lab and went fishing around for immune cells that reacted against her tumor.
Wow.
And then grew billions of these things and put them back into her. And 2 years later, she's still walking around telling the story.
That's actually crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
Would have cost millions of dollars. Yeah. The logistics of trying to do that for the, 18,000 women in Australia that get breast cancer is beyond comprehension.
Wow.
Bankrupt the health system.
It's crazy.
Overnight.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and tell us all about it.
Great to
very
talk
interesting
to you.
Stuff.
Thanks
very much,
me.
Darren. And that was Dr. Darren Saunders from the School of Medical Sciences at University of New South Wales.